Lawmakers in the other Washington are weighing U.S.-led airstrikes against Syria for allegedly using chemical weapons. Well, just what are chemical weapons? And why are they considered in a different class than conventional weapons? Joining us to talk about it is Dr. Raymond Zielinskas. He directs the Chemical and Biological Weapons Nonproliferation Program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. Dr. Zielinskas, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Ross.
Why are chemical weapons classified in a different way than other weapons that are also very lethal?
Chemical weapons were used in great quantities during World War I, and the injuries and deaths they caused were so horrendous that there was a special convention that was agreed on by nations in 1925, 1926, to forbid these kind of weapons. So that kind of, what you say, the bad feeling about how terrible these weapons are stick to today. And also this was actually further given a boost during the Iran-Iraq war. During that time, as that war was ending in 1988, the Kurds that helped the Iranians were victimized by chemical weapons in a place called Halabja, where in one attack, something like 5,000 people were killed. And so this is the reason why really that there's this sense that there's something very special, horrible about chemical weapons.
Well, you can't help but feel the horror in seeing some of the video that's come out of Syria with people who've supposedly been exposed to these chemical weapons and how horrible it looks. But there have been a lot of horrible weapons developed since World War I. Are chemical weapons really worse than other kinds of conventional weapons?
No, if you think the absolute worst are nuclear weapons. There's nothing that can be worse than a nuclear weapon. And really, a mass attack by artillery can be horrible, where people end up, many, many, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of people can end up with their arms blown off, their legs blown off, and horrible kinds of injuries that are caused by bombs, by incendiary devices, by napalm. All of these are really horrible. So, but still, for some reason, people think of chemical weapons especially horrible.
Tell us what's in a chemical weapon. How does it work?
Well, chemical weapons are defined as munitions or devices which are specifically designed to cause harm or death through the use of toxic chemicals. And these toxic chemicals can include anywhere agents that are choking agents, blister agents, blood agents, or nerve agents.
Now, what is known about Syrian President Assad's stockpile of chemical weapons? Do we know what he has?
It is thought by security experts that the Syrians have a very large stockpile of chemical weapons that are mostly consist of blister agents, such as mustard, and of nerve agents, such as sarin.
Now, the mustard gas, which was used in World War I, is not nearly as severe and lethal as newer forms like sarin?
That's true. But mustard is very, very difficult to treat and to protect against, because any mustard that lands on any kind of like a surface of the of a body starts blistering that body. So you have to have complete protection. And with nerve agents like the sarin, it's sometimes enough to have just the gas mask. But blister agents are really very, very dangerous and very, very can cause horrendous damage to civilians, as can nerve agents. So it's really what you want to use them for. If you want to kill a lot of people very quickly, then sarin works best. But if you want to delayed reaction and cause a lot of logistic problems to the enemy, then blister agents are very good for that purpose.
Dr. Zielinskas, if there is an attack launched by the U.S. and it hits a stockpile of chemical weapons, what will happen?
Depends where the stockpile is located. For example, in Iraq, the major stockpiles were located in something called the Mithana State Establishment, which was located out in the desert. So there wouldn't be any secondary effects on civilians, or very small secondary effect on civilians. However, in Syria, it is thought that many of the depots, there's something between 20 and 30 depots of chemical agents in Syria, and some of them are located in very distant locations in the desert, so they would not have a secondary effect on civilians. However, other ones are located either in or close to urban centers, so that if there were bombs dropped on these, that would create plumes, toxic plumes, that could be carried into the civilian centers.
Dr. Zelenskis, what would happen to Syria's chemical weapons should the government collapse?
Well, that's a big question, and the most important question, because if the militants that are, should say, moderate, get a hold of them, they probably would just sit on them and not do anything. But if the Islamist, the Al-Qaeda types, were able to get a hold of them, they might use them against the Christians, against the Shiites, against Israel. Who knows what they would do with them? So that's the worst kind of scenario, that the Islamists would actually end up with some of these deadly chemical agents.
Dr. Raymond Zelenskis, thank you so much for your time. He directs the Chemical and Biological Weapons Nonproliferation Program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies.